Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Seed Sowing System Movement with your host, Patrice. Coming to the mic with biblical insight and seeds of empowerment is the Seed Sowing System.
Welcome to the Seed Sowing System Movement on Spotify, Google, and on the Bashani Radio app. I'm your lead Seed Sowing System, Patrice. Thank you for joining me today. Have you had an opportunity to get your Talk to Me discussion flashcards? Grab a stack at patricebrantley.com. The goal is to tighten up family units and to build a stronger family bond. So this week, we're jumping right into Ezra chapter 4. Do you have clear discernment? All right, we're in chapter 4, but before we get into this, I need you to call a friend, text a friend. Let everyone know that the Seed Sowing System is on. Once you've done that, I need you to make sure you grab your pencil and your paper and most definitely your Bible. So we're going to be starting from chapter 4 in the entirety. All right. When the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the heads of the families and said, "Let us help you build, because like you, we seek your God and have been sacrificing to him since the day of Itzehoim, king of Assyria, who brought us here." But Zerubbabel and Zechariah, the rest of the family heads of Israel, answered, "You have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord, our God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us." Then the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They hired counselors to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. At the beginning of the reign of Xerxes, they launched an accusation against the people of Jerusalem and Judah. And in the days of Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, Bishan and Mishadam, Tibel, and the rest of the associates wrote a letter to Artaxerxes. Then we get to Rehum, the commanding officer, and Shemaiah, the secretary. They wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, as follows. Rehum, the commanding officer, and Shemaiah, the secretary, together with the rest of their associates, the judges and the officials over the men of Triballi, of Persia, Ekron, and Babylon, and the Edomites of Sudan, and the other people whom the great honorable Assitubahal deported, settled in the city of Samaria and everywhere in Trans-Euphrates. And this is what the copy of the letter they sent said. To King Artaxerxes, from your servants, the men of Trans-Euphrates, the king should know that the Jews who came up to us from you have gone to Jerusalem and are rebuilding that rebellious, wicked city. They are restoring the walls and repairing the foundations. Furthermore, the king should know that if the city is built and its walls are restored, no more taxes, tribute, or duty will be paid, and the royal revenues will suffer. Now, since we are under obligation to the palace, it is not proper for us to see the king dishonored. We are sending this message to inform the king. So with that, a search may be made in the archives of your predecessors. And in these records, you will find that this city is rebellious, troublesome to the king and the provinces, and a place of rebellion from ancient times. That is why this city was destroyed. We inform the king that if this city is built, its walls are restored. You will be left but nothing in Trans-Euphrates. Let's check out the king's response. The king sent this reply to inform the commanding officer Shemaiah, the secretary, and the rest of the associates living in Samaria and elsewhere in Trans-Euphrates. The letter you sent us has been read and translated in my presence. I issued an order and the search was made, and it was found that this city has a long history of revolt against kings and have been placed in rebelliousness and sedition. Jerusalem had had powerful kings ruling over the whole Trans-Euphrates, and taxes, tributes, and duties were paid to them. The leaders, let's go a step further, now issue an order to these men to stop work so that this city will not be rebuilt until I so order. Be careful not to neglect this matter. Why let this threat grow to the detriment of the royal interests? As soon as a copy of the letter of the king of Artaxerxes was read to Rehoboam and Shemaiah, the secretary, and their associates, they went immediately to the Jews in Jerusalem and compelled them by force to stop. Thus, the work of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So now you talk about some busybodies being in your business. Now, remember, they started this and they were all determined. They wanted to put their hands to the plow and do some work. Well, honey, once they got into it, it got really interesting. Let's break this down. Verse 1, it says, when the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the families and said, let us help you build because we seek your God and have been sacrificing to him since the time of Esphanon, the king of Assyria, who brought us here. Key seed one, always know that the streets are always listening, whether you know it or not. Because the first thing you notice, it says, when the enemies of Jerusalem, Judah, and Benjamin heard. Then let's go to who they went to. The enemies went right away with a sob story. They figured if we couldn't get you with the lie or the deceit, we'll go with the sob story. And then look who they went to. They went to the Zerubbabel, who was the governor, who was also a priest, who was the head. And then they went there and started saying, well, let us help you build because, you know, like you, we seek your God. And we have been sacrificed to him since this king who was over Assyria. Now, let's break this down. Anytime somebody got to go over your head or around you, there's a reason. Why you got to go over there? We could have talked about this man to man, woman to woman. But then let's break down the sob story. First thing, when you see the sob story, they wanted to be involved. Then they broke down and started saying, oh, I'm just like you. You ever had somebody do that? Oh, I'm just like you. I understand your experience. Oh, we just can. We cool they law, that kind of foolishness. Then they got in a few more details later. They started talking about why they don't need to be involved. Then when you get to verse 3, notice what happens. Zerubbabel and Jeshur, the rest of the heads of the family of Israel, answered, you have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord, our God of Israel, as King Cyrus of Persia commanded us. Key C 3, the heads of the families all had clear discernment. They were all on one accord. So that meant no matter who they went to, everybody had the same answer. The answer was no, thank you. We got this. Then when you go here, key C 4, they had a clear understanding that every hand is not a helping hand. Then I love how they went back in key C 5 and they flipped it back and referred him right back to the king who told them, hey, the king is the one who gave us this authority and he was given the authority and the approval by our God. Then when they get here in verse 4, the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and made them afraid to go on building. That is just like what the enemy does. The enemy will get there. If you realize he can't get you and you say, nope, get thee behind me, Satan, I rebuke you and you have been rejected, Satan. Oh, now all of a sudden he in his feelings. And he's like, wait a minute now, hold the phone. You think you're going to reject me
let me show you what I'm going to do. So the first thing they did was that these people started saying, oh, since they don't want us, we're going to now start to distract you. We're going to now start to discourage you. And they went and found hired help to discourage people. So in verse 5, we see them starting to hire counselors to work against them, frustrate their plans. And during this entire reign of Cyrus, the king of Persia, and it went all the way down until the reign of King Darius and Persia. Here's what the devil does. The devil tries to first discourage you by giving you wrong thoughts, wrong talk, and then distractions. And then let's go a step further. After they realized that wouldn't work, they start doing this. Oh, notice what you had to do. You have to be able to say, I'm seeking God before earthly counsel, because you got to know every counseling ear may not be the ear for you. So you got to seek God first before seeking earthly counsel, because that counselor or that counsel, I shouldn't say counselor, that counsel may have ulterior motives. And keep in mind, whoever you go to for counsel has your main three gates. They have your eye gates, your ear gates, and your mouth gate. And you have to be very, very discerning to know, what am I feeling in my mind? What am I seeing with my eyes? What am I hearing with my ears? What am I getting ready to speak? Am I getting ready to block my blessing with my mouth? Or am I speaking my blessing with my mouth? So you got to be very cautious about who you let entertain and counsel you. Then we get here. These people really came in with the plan of, we're not going to just frustrate you today. We're going to make this a long-term frustrating experience for you. And imagine they literally went on for this for 76 years of being frustrated and wanting to build and couldn't build, because every time they tried to do something, something was blocking them. You know, we always talk about a storm don't last so long. But what happens when that storm doesn't last just a few minutes, when that storm doesn't last just an hour, a couple of days, or some weeks or a month? What happens when that storm starts to last and ride for years, for decades, and for centuries? The question to ponder is, are you prepared for the storm if it lasts longer than the last storm? Can you prepare yourself and be fully equipped for the storm that you don't see any light in? Then look at this. You literally see how they had taken the time to be very nasty for this amount of time. But notice this. However long the storm is, that gives you an idea of how big the blessing is. So you have to know that you have to really be prepared for those storms and know how to navigate them. And the best way I know to be prepared for a storm is to go ahead right to my Lord first and say, God, what do I need to do? How do I seek you? What else do I need to do to seek you to find out how to navigate these storms and be prepared for these storms so that the storm doesn't wear me out? I wear out the storm. Then in verse 6, at the beginning of the reign of Artaxerxes, they lodged a complaint. So now hold on. Not only did Satan come and try to discourage with wrong thoughts, wrong talk, and wrong distractions, now, and he's made a lengthier storm for these people, now he's now got the people out here running their mouth out here with lies and accusations. You ever had somebody tell a lie on you and you're like, I can't believe y'all even believe this foolishness that they're saying? But that's what the devil does. He goes and he lies right on you. And now these people have a complaint lodged against them. And now you see in these days of Artaxerxes and all these other officials, the lie now goes from being a oral verbal lie to a lie on paper. And you know how this story goes. Y'all heard it all the time before. Key seed 9, the power of the pen. You know, it's amazing when you know you've seen people and you've seen at your jobs, when you've had people who are amazing workers, and then they'll go to another place or they'll try to get another job. And you're like, why can't they get another job? Because somebody has written something on paper to block their way. Then we get here and they actually have this letter written in Arabic script and in Arabic language. So that way, whoever's delivering the letter can't go and be like, girl, you see what this letter say? They can't be nosy. So let's jump into the first section of the wise word. It is important that you know the strategies of the enemy, so it can save you years of discouragement, despair, and unneeded distractions. And then the second wise word was the power of the pen. It is for us to use the pen wisely, because when it's in the wrong hands, it can cause a lifetime of trouble. But then let's actually break down this letter. Once you get to chapter 4, verse 8, here you have Rehoboam and Shemaiah, the secretary. They're writing a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, as follows. Now, keep in mind, they have not written an accusation. And any way you have to write a letter against someone, remember, that says a whole lot more about you than it says about that person. So if the person has the cost to keep launching accusations and stories about you and running around the street telling everything and writing everything, That should be a red flag to go, hey, they doing a whole lot. So we know this is not about you. This is about them. And then look at what happened. They got here and wrote this letter, and they got together with other officials, judges, other men of Tripoli and Persia, all the way over to Babylon and all the way up to Sus. And then they get here, and these other people who are in honorable states get here and deport and settle in this area. And they basically sent this letter all the way over to Trans-Euphrates. And this accusation, key seed 11, was sent far and wide. And they got to the point that the more people were connected with the letter, the greater the lie became, the greater the impact of the lie came. And then let's look at what was written in the letter. This is what they sent. To King Artaxerxes, from his servants, the men of Troy, Trans-Euphrates. The king should know that the Jews who came up to us, you have come up from us to Jerusalem and rebuilt the rebellious and wicked city. They are restoring the walls and repairing the foundations. Furthermore, the king should know that if this city is built and its walls are restored, no more taxes, tribute, or duty will be paid to the royal revenues will suffer. Now, since we are under obligation to the palace and it is not proper for us to see the king dishonored, we are sending this message to inform the king so that a search may be made in the archives of your predecessors. In these records, you will find that the city is rebellious. This is a rebellious city and troublesome to the kings and provinces, a place of rebellion from ancient times. This is why this city was destroyed. And then notice what they put here. We inform the king that if this city is rebuilt, its walls will be restored, but you will have nothing left in Trans-Euphrates. And then look how the king responds. The king sends this reply. Now let's go back for a second before I jump into this king's reply, because, you know, I find it was just shady, grady, baby, how they did this here. When they wrote this letter, look at what they first said. You got to be aware, when people write letters, check out the wording. The wording they use this wording to make themselves look good and to sound like they were just being upstanding citizens while they were tearing down others. The first thing they said to King Artaxerxes is, from your servants. Now, we know these people were not being servants. They were really being busybodies. They put down here, from your servants, from the men of Trans-Euphrates. And then notice what they kept doing. They kept saying, the king should know. The king should know. So then we get here in the parts of verses 12 to 13, we start seeing them to twist the facts of the story to fit their case. In other words, they started spinning the events to fit what they wanted. And then they started giving half truths. So they got here and started saying that how Jerusalem was a rebellious and wicked city, and that if they go to restore these walls, all this will happen. And then they got here in KC 14 and just full out lied and said, well, if they restore these walls, you can best believe they're not going to pay no taxes, no tribute, and the royal revenues will suffer. Now, you know, you get people's attention once you start talking about money. As soon as you start talking about money, everybody, wait a minute, hold on. What you mean? The money ain't be right? So all of a sudden now, the king is fully at attention. What you mean? But then when you go a little further here, after they get here and start saying, well, oh, it's our obligation to make sure that you're not disrespected. They got here to such a vain king that they started playing ego and mind games with him to say, oh, we don't want to see you dishonored. Oh, that's not, we're going to make sure that we take care of the king. In other words, let me make sure I run this game on you so good that you don't even know you have a game run on you. Then they get here at the end of this section and get right here and start talking about, oh, well, we're going to make sure that you know about this troublesome city and make sure you search out the records. And then notice this. Remember this. In life, you have three parts to a story. You have person one, person two, and then the truth. And here, when you get to the records, you're going to instantly get a skewed viewpoint because those viewpoints are going to line up with who wrote the record. So in the records, clearly it was going to label these people as troublemakers, rebellious, wicked, money hungry, dishonorable. And then using these records from what he's already told them in the letter that they've written out, the records are going to justify it because it's coming from someone who wants to make sure they put this person in a negative light to justify the case. Then look at when they get to the end. They inform this king that if you build this city, nothing will be left. And I want to just throw a little wise word in for this one. The enemy will lie on you, twist up facts about you, mislabel all that you do, and the purpose is trying to stop you because he knows the power in you. We get a chance to literally see through the children of Israel, the ones who came back from the exile, the power that unity has when you line up and you work with the purpose, a God-given purpose that God is leading you with. But then let's look at what this king does in his response. This king sends his response back to them. And the first thing you notice, he's not responding back king to king. He's not responding back king to these busybodies. So the first thing you have to look at is key seed 18. Are you responding back to the wrong source? The king should have been responding king to king, but he was responding king to busybody. Then look at the people who actually that he responded to. They were totally out of order. You ever seen somebody do that? People get here and all of a sudden they're giving you their advice on something. And you're like, this has nothing to do with you. This is so out of order. Please stay over there. That's what the king should have been saying. But because they made it sound good, it wasn't good. And in turn, they were out of order. Then look at this. After all of this, he goes and he says, greeting, the letter you sent us has been read and translated in my presence. I've issued an order and had a search made. And it was found that the city has a long history of revolt against kings and has been placed in a place of rebellion and sedition. Now, here's the interesting piece. When they made the search, remember that the search was a one-sided search, and the records were going to be written from a one-sided viewpoint. But remember this, whoever wrote these records controlled the narrative. That's why it's very important about what channel you watch for news, or that you get the full story. Because whoever has the microphone, whoever has the camera in front of them with the mic, controls the narrative about the people that we know around us. Then we get here, remember, they made this whole big statement about them being rebellious, yet in their eyes, because they were mistreating them, it was that they were being rebellious. But for the people who were saying, I'm over this, it was freedom to them. You gotta know, when it looks like rebellion to one, it's freedom to another. Then we get here in verse 20. Jerusalem had a powerful kings ruling over the whole Trans-Euphrates, and tax and tribute and duty were paid to them. And then notice what they did in this verse. They got here after verse 21 and said, now in order to these men to stop work so that the city will not be rebuilt unless I do order so. Then he says, be careful not to neglect this matter. Why let this threat grow to the detriment of the royal interests? As soon as the copy of the letter of the king of Euphrates was read to Rimmon and Shemaiah, the secretary and their associates, they immediately went to the Jews to stop the work by force. And then the work of the house of the Lord came to a standstill from the time of King Cyprus all the way down to King Darius. And here you have this letter was never really about the work. The letter was honestly focused on the money, the power, the influence, and the respect more than the wall. And these were the main reasons, besides the jealousy, that the wall was perceived to be a threat. Let's go to the wise word. When man thinks that he controls the narrative,
it always comes with confusion. But when God controls your narrative, it always displays a beautiful plan at the end. The wise word for the day is, don't worry about what man says. God is the one that's the head and control of your narrative. Let him write your story so that in the end, he gets the glory. Well, I've been Patrice, your lead seed sowing sister. Thank you for joining me today. Make sure you grab your stack of the Talk to Me discussion flashcards at patricebrantley.com, where the mission is to strengthen families, to strengthen the family bond, and encourage healthy conversation. Well, y'all know how this goes. Let's go out and be great because we are great. And our greatness is now. It no longer awaits. Have an amazing day.
Join us next week for another soul-stirring set of seeds with the Seed Sowing Sista. Follow Patrice for daily seeds on our Seed Sowing Sista Facebook group.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.